The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourself and do not wear out an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await for their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself and have them recline at table and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in a second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this. If the master of a house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not let his house be broken into. You must always be prepared, for an hour you do not expect. The Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom the master finds on arrival doing so. Truly I say to you, the master will put the servants in charge of his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to drink and get drunk, then when the servant's master comes on an unexpected day at an unknown hour, and will punish the servant severely and assign him to a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will, but did not make preparations nor act according with that will, shall be beaten severely. And the servant who ignored his master's will, but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating, shall only be beaten lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. In the Army, there's this pesky little job that absolutely nobody wants to do. Everyone hates it. It's called fire guard. I don't know if anywhere you were in the military and had to do fire guard, but trust me when I tell you it's a job nobody likes. Its simplest definition is to watch for fire. Sure, every building in the Army has a fire alarm, but, you know, redundancy and all the military discipline. You have to keep soldiers awake, and they have to be there in case fire breaks out. They have to warn the people as all of the lights are going off and everything's going crazy with normal fire alarms. Sometimes, though, you know, you get the first hour, the first watch. It's actually pretty cool because everyone goes to bed at 10. You have to be up until 11. Huh, no big deal. But as the time goes on, after each shift, after each watch, you start at 10 o'clock shift, 11 o'clock shift, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock comes around. The person who had the shift before you wakes you up. It's like, okay, my turn. So you're still tired. You're young. You're a young male, man or woman that is fresh out of basic training. You're at your job site and everything. You got to get up and do fire guard. Okay. So you're sitting there. And you think, well, you know, you look around, everyone's asleep. I'm kind of tired. You know, I need my rest. I'm young. Start rationalizing a little bit. So it's okay if I close my eyes a little bit. They're heavy. Eyelids are heavy. So you just kind of close your eyes briefly. It's just a second. That's it. No more than a second, right? And just then, doesn't matter if it's been an hour or 10 seconds, the sergeant comes around the corner and runs down the aisle yelling and screaming because you're asleep on duty. You get in a lot of trouble for that. Let me tell you, it sucks. Now, the Army legally can no longer physically assault you or punish you for anything, thankfully. But they absolutely can make your life difficult until they think you've learned your lesson. They'll have you pulling fire guard shifts, all the shifts, for the next several days. They'll have you cleaning the latrine. They'll have you doing all the maintenance in the barracks. They'll have you going and rotating the tires on all the trucks. They'll have you filling up sandbags just so that you can empty them and refill them again. Now, I may or may not have gotten into trouble a few times in the Army, so I may or may not know some of this from firsthand experience, but I digress. Christ in the gospel today is trying to make something very clear. Where the soldier only has to be on alert and on guard for 1 hour at a time, the Christian has to be on guard and on alert their entire lives, every single moment. Now, this might seem daunting, because for the soldier, for that hour, he lives in fear. Not fear of fire, mind you. Nobody in the barracks cares about the fire. What they care about, though, is whether or not they're going to get caught. So they live from this place of fear and anxiety. Like, oh, if I even blink, am I going to get in trouble? The Christian can't live in that sense of fear. The Christian cannot live there. Too many times there's this tendency in the Christian life for some of us to be, can I go and watch a movie without sinning? Can I legitimately stay home for Mass because I'm gravely sick? Is that a sin? There's such a worry about this. But that's not what Christ is telling us to do today. Christ doesn't want us to be on alert and on a guard from a place of fear, but from a place of love. So what does this look like? For the Christian, obviously, it has to be love of God and love of neighbor. This is always in the forefront of our mind. Is what am I doing good for the people around me? Is it good for me? Is it good for God? Is there a goodness to it? And it's not so much looking forward, but for the Christian, a lot of it is looking back too. So because our Father, really our Father, by baptism, through adoption, God is our Father. But really, when we have these conversations each and every day with our Father, especially at night, at the end of the day, laying in bed, about to go to bed, about to drift off to sleep, you start going over your day. Was I short with somebody? Did I yell at the guy that cut me off on the freeway? Did I fulfill the duties that were incumbent upon me? My obligations that I had to God, my obligations to family and friends, to the community, my obligations to myself, have I fulfilled these things? So it's not a worry about what's to come. Did I do this right? Am I going to do this right? It's looking back and calmly with God and talking into him about our day, reflecting over it, and asking, where have I maybe not done what God has asked me to, not fulfilled his will? This allows us to come from a place of love, because we're in conversation with the source of love himself, and we're looking at our life. We're looking at our life with the one who created it, the one who loves us more than anything else in the world. This is how we move in a place of love as Christians. We have been formed. We've gone to Mass probably every Sunday for the entirety of our lives, probably more often if you've been in Catholic school. So we have to trust that the formation that we have received is there, and that we move from that. And then we look back. We try to form ourselves continually over our lives. We look back over the day. Have I failed you, Lord? If not, cool. We move on. If we have, all right. We make a firm resolution to do better next time. There's no worry about it. We don't have to freak out about it. There's no anxiety attached to that. That's not the kind of on guard and alertness Christ is calling us to. So I went off my notes, so I'm a little lost at the moment. Hold on. All right, I think I covered everything, actually. Good. So all that to say, it doesn't matter if we've closed our eyes for a minute or a second. It doesn't matter if we've gotten in trouble for falling asleep on fire guard. None of that matters. What matters is if we look back and we look to see what God is calling us to do. Have we fulfilled his will? Have we lived in love? Have we taken care of our brothers and our sisters, our neighbors? Have we taken care of ourselves? That's it. God calls us to follow his commandments, and they are good, and we have to follow them, but it's from a place of love, not a place of fear.